So this parable, it is in Mark chapter 4. I bet you're not surprised we're still in Mark. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells this parable twice. The first time, he tells it to the whole big crowd of people. So here's how the chapter starts. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. They withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, it grew, it produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." One of the nice things about this parable is that Jesus gave his explanation. Otherwise, who knows what kind of theories the disciples might have made concerning this parable. Jesus was teaching, you know, farmers to be careful where they scattered their seed, not to be wasteful. But not to put it along the path or rocks or weeds. But maybe not. Maybe they would have realized that God, his word and his word and men's hearts were being talked about. So, yeah, maybe they would have realized that God was being talked about, God's word and men's hearts were being talked about. So it goes on from verse 10 to 20. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand the parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the seed. The farmer sows the word," that'd be logos there. "Some people are like seeds along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecutions come because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Do you and I ever act like the disciples? You know, we put on this good face. Oh, yeah, we understand what he's teaching in front of everybody, and later go, "Hey, what did you mean by that?" Yeah. I like the honesty of the gospel writers, how often we can see ourselves in the actions of the disciples. You know, the farmer is God, the Father, in this, and he sows his word, the Logos, that is Jesus' word, his teaching. He's sowing it in a fashion, you know, of hand sowing, which gets it everywhere, hopefully nice and even. And it's not nearly as precise as using a grain drill these days, where it only goes in the ground, you drive it over. And the seed lands in four types of soil. The soil that's the road or path, in gravel areas, rocky areas, in briars and weeds, and in good soil. So the road or path represents a hardness that nothing penetrates. The seed that lands on it probably just kind of bounced along, skidded to a stop until something snatches it, like birds tend to do. We have put, you know, lawn seed out on poor spots in our lawn and been amazed at all these blackbirds with yellow specks on them that show up and clean that for us. I don't know where they come from, because I never hardly see them except when we put lawn seed out. And, you know, seed in the road can also be smashed, stepped on, or out here it would be driven on, or just blown away. Jesus said some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. You know, the trouble with the road or the path is that it's hard. You know, no seed, no word of God is going to find a home there. And what a sad state to have an opportunity to have a relationship with the King of the universe. What a sad state to let your lack of understanding keep you from making the commitment to knowing God. What a sad state to be a slave to reason, when so much of life and love is outside of reason and understanding. You know, why do you love someone? Might be an example. You know, I don't understand fully how electricity works. Why should there be these things called electrons that go from one to the other and move along? And yet we certainly use it. And, you know, light, they do different tests on light, and sometimes they say, well, it's kind of like a solid thing that's bouncing around, and sometimes they say, and it's kind of like a wave. And, you know, we really don't understand light, but we certainly like, you know, light, artificial light. We use it. The gravel. Jesus said the other seeds sown on rocky places, you know, hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last a short time, and when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. If you've spent any years in church, you've probably seen people joyfully come to the Lord, only later to fall away. And sometimes they came to Christ with false expectations, you know. I'm going to accept Christ, and I'm going to get straight A's from now on. Well, no, not necessarily. Doesn't save you from your teacher. And, you know, Pat shares about her brother, who was told that when he was baptized, he would be like Superman. And then when he couldn't fly like Superman, he was rather disappointed and never had much to do with God since then. You know, well, that was false. That was a mistake. You know, people walk away. Others find their popularity falling when others find out that they believe in Christ. Some leave because of persecution, and in minor ways or in big ways. They'd rather be popular than be right with God. Weeds. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this deceitful life, deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. You know, those among the rocks are bothered by external things, but those, the weeds, are plagued with internal thoughts and problems. Thoughts about their lives, you know, wrong thinking about how money's going to make them happy. If I only would win the lottery this week, life would be so much better. You know, I think we've all heard some of those studies about lottery winners who are soon poorer than ever. And you know, if only I win this next hand of poker, then I'll have that rent money back. You know, their wants, their desires help them to drift away from God. And the question for all of us is, are you drifting? Have you drifted? Well, the good soil. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, 60, some 100 times what was sown. Good soil, boy, that's what we want. If you're good soil, God's word is going to thrive in you. When I hear, it'll produce a crop of 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. My mind goes evangelism. You know, this person's going to really be quite an evangelist. But this is talking to everybody. You know, could be a great evangelist, but not all growth, not all crops are going to be soul winner crops, bringing others up. You know, over in Luke, it says in Luke chapter 8, but the seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good hearts who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. You know, people listen. People who listen to God's word, people who retain it, remember it, and persevere, produce a crop. What might the crop be like? John 15 says, Jesus was saying, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Fruit comes with abiding. What might the crop look like? Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So those are some of the kind of things that the crop could be. You know, what else might this good soil grow? Growing fruit be like? Colossians 1:10 says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him in every way, bearing fruit in every good works and growing in the knowledge of God. So you can produce fruit for God through your studies. You can produce fruit for God with your good deeds and many, many other ways. But some serious questions are, first, with what type of soil are you? Do you know Christ? That is the first question to be answered. And is there fruit in your life? Is that fruit increasing? To the question, what type of soil are you? What kind of soil are you? I have often thought, well, I must not be the path, because Satan hasn't snatched me away from following Christ. I must not be the stony ground, for you know, I'm not still, for the same reason, I'm still walking with Christ. But I see danger. There is the danger of caring too much about avoiding persecution. I sure don't want to face persecution. You know, little bit of a stretch to hear those disciples saying, counted it as joy because they are persecuted. Wow, we must be good believers. You know, I must not be weedy soil because the same, I'm still in Christ. But I see dangers in following stray thoughts, in just letting your interests, your hobbies take you away from church and from God and Bible study. I've told before a different pastor's story of a family that got a boat, and they started spending all their time on the boat, and they dropped out of church, and by the end of the summer, their marriage was falling apart, and they came to their pastor and said, "We're thinking about getting a divorce," and pastor said, "Sell your boat." What? He said, "Yeah, sell your boat. That seems to be the source of why you're not putting in effort for your marriage and for your Christian life and stuff." And they did. And then about a year later or sometime later, after things were going much better in their life, someone gave them a boat. And they used it reasonably, and they didn't miss the whole summer. In fact, the times they used the boat, you know, some of the times they were taking the youth group out tubing and different things. It didn't take over their life the second time around. Let's see. Crowding Christ out. So I think that leaves good soil, but what about all that abundant fruit? And of course, I did originally think it was all talking about being some great soul winner. And no, I think it's much more than that. So again, I ask you, what kind of soil are you? And what kind of soil do you want to be? Which leads me to, hey, what are you doing to improve your soil? The soil that's you. You may be thinking, my soil, that's the way I am. What are you talking about? Well, in Luke, there's another parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to get fruit on it, but did not find any. He said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree. I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" And the gardener said, Sir, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then we'll cut it down." God is looking for fruit in my life. He's looking for fruit in your lives. He's willing to invest in our lives. But the infinite God isn't infinitely patient. Sometimes he gives us what we have chosen, what we deserve. You know, the gardener parable gives me hope that I can improve my soil. It gives me hope that you can improve your soil. One of the best things in life is that people change and can change for the better. And of course, one of the saddest things in life is that people change. Without intention, they can drift from a person who's in God's word, who's in God's church, who's in fellowship with other Christians, telling others about Christ, to someone else, to even an unbeliever. The, you know, one famous atheist organization that keeps suing to get God out of everything, the guy in charge used to be an evangelical pastor. So he's kind of drifted a ways from his roots. So now you've thought about that. Imagine yourself as a worker on God's farm. In Christ, we do work on his farm. When would you sow seed? You sow seed in the right season, and you sow seed year after year after year. Where do you sow seed? In Jesus' parable, it was everywhere. You know, the ground is plowed, but then the seed's just scattered. And why do you sow seed? You sow seed because you want to see growth. God wants to see growth. Growth in God is good. So, as we close in prayer, you know, tell God, what has God put on your heart this morning? Anything about your soil? What does he want you to do? I've worked a little bit for farmers, and one time they were using a plow, a spring tooth plow, to bring rocks up out of the soil. And then they'd drive along and everybody with a trailer, and everybody would get these rocks out of the soil and put them on the trailer, and they'd move them to the edge of the field. It was a very clear working to make it into a better field. What does God ask you to do to improve your soil? And will you do it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you taught through parables, and especially the ones that you then explained very clearly what message we were supposed to get. Lord, each one of us is a case of good or bad or somewhere in between soil. And I pray that you would help each one of us to see what needs to come out, what needs to be added, even good soil is given rest sometimes. Good soil is fertilized at times. And we pray that we would not be indifferent to the changes you'd like to make in our lives so that we can grow abundantly for you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.